Blog Talk Radio.
1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. This is what we're doing right here. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to the Progressive Action TV show. Thanks for tuning in. We are live and direct. And y'all know we're going to talk about those issues like we normally do. But before we get into the nuts and bolts of everything, y'all already know. The phone lines will be open tonight. The phone lines are open. 563-999-3714. Also, we're going to be talking about tonight these New York City rents. We're going to be talking about the crime in the subway. We don't need to talk about it so early in the broadcast before they flag us. But we're going to talk about the crime in the subways and on these New York City transit buses. We're going to talk about the NYPD. What else are we going to talk about? Let me see what else we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about how Progressive Action stays ahead of the curve all the time when it comes to our issues. But before I jump into this thing, I need for you guys to share out the live. Take 60 seconds. Share out the live. The more people that know what's going on and the truth, because we can't believe the MTA, Jan Oliva, Richard Davi, we can't believe any of them. We can't even believe the union administration because they are in bed with management. This is the only place where you're going to get that real, real, real information. You know, it's the only place you're going to get that real information. And make sure, let me see how I get that right there. Make sure you guys donate via Cash App, Progressive Action 100. And like we do every show, we're going to get into the nuts and bolts of what's really going on here. So there's a reason why I say we cannot afford to live in a city in which we work. Everything is going up around us. You have your rents going up, taxes, it's been crazy. I don't even understand how you tax us on everything. That's crazy right there, right? When you're dealing with your kids, school is going up. Some of our contracts, medical health care is going up. They're trying to add congestion pricing and all this other stuff. How are we going to be able to survive in the city in which we work? And like I told y'all on past programs, I've termed it, and I know that this is probably not exclusive to transit workers, but we have become refugees in the city in which we work. And what I mean is that we cannot afford to live in a city in which we spend most of our time, right? So we got to live in Connecticut. We got to live in Jersey. We got to live in Pennsylvania. We got to live in Delaware some places. We got to live all the way upstate. And what people don't understand is that that messes up your quality of life, right? Picture you got to travel 2 hours one way, 4 hours round trip, right, just to get to work, just to be able to survive in an environment where your wages can thrive. Because we all know our wages, I'm literally tired of transit workers saying that, you know, we getting paid and nah. You got to look at what your base salary is. We got to look at what the base salary is, Sean, because at any given time, the MTA or whatever company we work for can take away overtime and then where you're going to be at, right? So first thing we're going to talk about is the New York City rents hit record highs in Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens, right? Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Queens, the rents are sky high. And let's look at some of these numbers and what they're saying. Manhattan rents rose to $4,230, up almost 2% from the month before and 3.3% more than it was a year ago. That's 20.9% higher than pre-pandemic rents in February of 2020. Meanwhile, the median rent for Manhattan studios dropped 1% from January to $3,100, $100 more than it was a year ago. The median rent was $3,499 in Brooklyn, unchanged from the previous month, but nearly 3% above what it was in the month last year. It's almost 13% more than it was pre-COVID, right? Let's look at Queens. Oh, and this is also in Brooklyn. Studios in the borough went for $2,951, the same as in February 2023, but down from $3,000 in January. The Northwest Queens region saw rents unchanged annually, but 1.2% up from the month before at $3,239, 11.7% above pre-pandemic levels. The median rent for studios was an even $3,000, down 1.1% from January, and $8 more than the same time last year. Now, I want to go back to the Brooklyn slide, right? And I want us to pay attention to these numbers because $3,499 is a lot of money for rent. $3,499 is a lot of money for rent. That's basically a mortgage, right? And we're talking about if you know New York City apartments, if you're paying $3,499, is not something crazy, luxury, or anything like that, right? But $3,499 is $4,988 at the end of the year, right? Now, picture paying $41,000 in rent. $41,000 in rent. Now, let's look at the transit worker salary. The average transit worker, let's not even use the average. Let's just say someone makes $75,000 a year, right? And they got to pay for one of these apartments at basically $42,000, right? Let's say taxes take $20,000, right? So you've got $75,000, taxes take $20,000, you're left with $55,000. Now, $55,000 from $41,000, right? We left with like about $14,000. $14,000, we're talking about groceries. We're talking about taking care of your children, health insurance, if you have a vehicle, clothing, what else? Light, gas, cell phone. How can you even save with the rent prices in New York City? As a matter of fact, let me see what the median rent in New York City is. Let me check that out. I mean, median income in New York City, 2023. I want to see who it was for the whole last year. Oh, so the median household income in New York City is $75,000. So I used the right figure. $75,000, how can you survive with a $3,500 rent? And then paying $40,000+ a year on rent alone. Like I said, that's not including groceries, light, gas, children, school, after school, programs for your kids in school. And they want to know why there's so many kids out on the streets getting into things, because their parents can't afford to do anything else with them. When I was growing up, we had after school programs, we had PAL. In the summertime, you had basketball programs. You had things to keep us kind of busy and off the streets. If you got into trouble during the time that I was coming up, you was looking for trouble. So bottom line, it wasn't because there wasn't anything for you to do. We had things to do. But now you don't have anything to do because our parents can't afford to do anything. That's why with the children nowadays, there's no direction because the parents is busting their behinds working just to keep a roof over their head. I know we all heard that. Oh, you know, I got to work all these jobs and all these hours to keep a roof over your head. Yeah, that's literal. I mean, let me go back to that slide again. $3,499 for rent in Brooklyn, the median rent. We're not even talking about what the top level is. We're talking about the median rent, basically the average of all the rents, $3,500. Insane. Insane. And what? How do they expect people to survive? How do they expect people to survive? That is absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy. And when y'all decide to call in, I want to talk about these rents. I want to talk about our next topic, which we're going to talk about the subway crime. Actually, the MTA got a report card, and it was a failing grade. Are we surprised? Are we surprised? The MTA report card was a failing grade, and let me put up that slide. Delays, violent crime. Report card on New York City subway reveals a system in crisis. If you allow the MTA to grade themselves, they're going to give themselves straight A's. But we all know that that is a lie. That's a lie. The MTA is not all straight A's. In fact, when I show you guys some of these grades, you're going to be like, some of y'all are not going to be surprised. We know that the MTA is a cluster. I know what I meant to say, a cluster. Y'all know what it is, right? And they are just lying to us. They're gaslighting us. And you want to know what? I get their rationale. If people are afraid to travel on the subways, if they say that the subways are dangerous, there's trillions of delays and things of that nature, that's going to deter people from riding the subways. I get that. But let's keep it real, because a lot of people is not taking the subways because the MTA is lying to them. It's not what the MTA is saying is happening is not what the riders and the workers are seeing, right? So let's look at the first grade with the MTA. When it comes to crime, when they say that it's safe, or they try to make it seem like this is really Gotham City and it's the same 30-plus individuals causing all this crime amongst 8 million people, right? That's so untrue. It's the sleight of hand. Now, it says crime, F. Crime skyrocketed this year. We've now had 3 murders on the rails, all random, in January. Felony crime was up 47% compared to the same month last year. Grand larcenies rose, but subway riders and workers also suffered. 110 violent felonies, up 16%. Compare violent felonies to January 2019, before the end of the crash bell for many crimes and other criminal justice reforms, and serious violence is up 61%. What is this safe subways the MTA is talking about? What is their definition of safe? The NYPD, they are spitting that same untrue narrative. And it's okay for police officers to say that it's safe. You want to know why? Because they can defend themselves with any level of threat at any given time when they feel threatened. If they see someone, if one of their partners is getting beat up, they could stun gun them, they could mace them, they could shoot them, they done did all types of things, right? Everyone else don't got that same type of right. Because there's always in the back of your mind that I could go to jail, or, you know, something can happen to me, whatever the case may be. So the people who's telling us it's safe, they are from the ruling class of safety. When you saw Jan Oliva talking about it safe, guess what? Jan Oliva rolls around with armed security. Richard Davey telling us it's safe. Richard Davey is rolling around with armed security. All the NYPD, Chief Kemper, he's a cop. He's safe. He has a gun. He has mace. He has a stun gun. He has handcuffs. He has a whole bunch of tools, a baton, a nightstick, whatever they want to call it. He has a whole bunch of tools to defend himself. Everyone else does not have that same type of equipment and can get away with the things that they can get away with. Right? I want to pull up something from what Chief Kemper said. I'm going to put this on the screen when I get deep into the details of what's going on here. Can you guys do me a favor? Do me one favor while I'm setting this up, because this is important and I put this up there. While I'm setting this up, can you guys share out the show? Share out the show. Give me 60 seconds. Let me set up this this screenshot real quick, because I want to cover every detail. Sometimes, you know, these things happen in real time. I forgot to put this up there, but I'm going to add this up there now. Take 60 seconds. Share out the show. The phone lines are open tonight. Matter of fact, somebody's on the phone now. Let me get to them now, so we could really do the damn thing. Let me get to this first caller. Caller 6483,
hello,
you're now live on Progressive Action TV.
Good afternoon,
yes.
Jamal. It's Celso Garcia, bus operator, Bronx.
Celso, how
know,
you doing?
Good. How you doing today? I just want to say I feel like we're back in the 80s and 90s, those people that grew up in New York, and we saw all types of craziness. But the only thing about the 80s and 90s is that...
Hold on. I want to make sure that they can hear you. I don't think that they hear. In the comments, can y'all tell me, did y'all hear the caller? Can y'all let me know if y'all heard the caller or not? Let me see. Let me see what's going on with that. Why can't they hear you? What's going on with that? Oh, I know why. Give me one second. Let me hook that up. One second. It's up. Two. Yeah, there we go. All right, try to talk now, Celso. Let me see what's going on.
Yeah. How you doing, Tramel?
There you go. Now say what you got to say. Let's go.
Oh, hey. It's Celso Garcia, bus operator, Bronx, New York. Growing up in the Bronx in the 80s and 90s, this is like reminding me of those times. The only difference now is I'm a father and I have kids, and they take the train, they take the bus, and watching this craziness going on in the city, and it's out of control, and the politicians are saying, and those in charge are saying, crime is down, everything's down, nothing's happening. But we're seeing it with our own very eyes, the things that are happening, that we are not walking the same through the streets. We don't feel safe, and that's a big part of it. And it's sad that they want us to be in denial with them, and they don't want people to speak the truth and say, maybe there's some things that need to be done. Maybe there's some actions that need to be taken. I don't know if they want us to live in a fantasy world where when we see a shooting on the train or on several trains, stabbings, robberies, carjackings, all types of craziness, we're supposed to just say, hey, it's okay, we're going to go with your script. Because since you say it's safe, then it's safe. So we're just going to be okay because you told us we're going to be okay. But it's in the back of everyone's head. Everyone's nervous. Everyone's wondering, am I going to be the next one? And the only difference is that now it is coming out on video and people can actually see exactly what happened. Because dead people can't talk. Injured people can't talk. And at least I could say in the 80s and 90s, there were boundaries, certain boundaries. We respected parks, we respected churches, the people, they respected certain, there were certain boundaries, schools, you respected schools. And I remember growing up in the 80s that the schools didn't even have police officers. They had private security in them. They weren't even part of the NYPD. So I think we have serious problems in the city, and they want us to agree with them. and not speak up and telling transit workers we cannot post videos, we cannot post pictures online, we cannot speak up and speak our mind. It's ridiculous because the riders are doing it. They're posting the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're sending the stuff in. You cannot stop social media. Like, you can't just put a finger on it and say, you know what, we need to stop. You know, why not listen to all those things that people are showing them? When they see that the videos of the NYPD opening the gates for people and letting them in, or the video of them helping the person with the package and then walking away and leaving the gate open and 40 people walking in right after the officers left the, you know, there's a whole bunch of videos of things that are going on in the system that before we didn't have access to. But it's just right now frustrating as a parent. And I see a lot of people just exiting the city because of the cost of living is extremely expensive. And then on top of that, we're not getting the bang for our buck. We're not getting the value for the city with the rents being so high. Everyone's being squeezed. And on top of that, we got to deal with crime. And the politicians are just saying, don't worry about it. You'll be okay. You'll be safe. Don't worry about it. While they upstate or somewhere else, living in the suburbs, in their nice houses, and not caring about what happens to the people that are out on the streets and are have to deal with it on a daily basis, which is the riders and the employees. And instead of, listening to people, they put out the surveys and say, oh, let us hear your voice. How many people are going to fill out surveys and take their time to fill it out and do this and give that type of feedback? They could listen to the people by giving them a safe system people respect.
I need you to sum up what you're going to say because I got a long list of people and
I want
to get through the show. I got a long list of
There has to be some type of respect and some type of mutual respect among riders, among employees, amongst everyone in the system. Some type of mutual respect, and that's what I'm saying, that in the system. We need that back, some type of respect for us, the riders, the public, and also the city and the state. Thank you. That was my main point, that we need respect between each other.
All right, thanks for calling
in, bro. Okay, have a good night.
We're going to run through these callers because I got to get through the show. We're going to run through the callers. Let's try to keep the conversation short to the point, but I got a lot to cover tonight. Listen, y'all not going to miss this information. We're going to talk about what happened on the A-train and everything involved with that, and NYPD lies and all that. So let me just get to the next caller. Caller 2550-2550. You're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? You calling from?
Good evening, T2. Brother train operator Craig, B Division, suspended. What's going on?
What's going on? Tell him, what's on your mind, bro?
Brother, I'm going to start at the top, being as though Celso was already speaking about the whole train situation. I'm going to try to make this as short as possible. Some of the things that I saw going on, just from the videos, and this is from my perspective, that everything that transpired on that train could have been avoided. And, you know, I received a lot of WhatsApps and inboxes, and I know why people was hitting me up, because they know, you know, I'm sensitive to a situation given the fact of what I just had gone through. Number one, I seen that this dude, he did more thinking with his heart and feeling with his mind. He could have easily fall back, whatever it was that had gone on. I saw that the gentleman did not want to fight. Even when he wanted to put up a little bit of a fight, he was still, you know, he was still running around. Number two, his girlfriend. I saw people online saying, oh, yeah, she should be locked up too. Absolutely. For everybody that hit me up and said that she should be locked up, I'm saying on your broadcast, I disagree with you. The same way I disagree with you on the WhatsApp and the inboxes. She did exactly what she was supposed to do to get that brute off of her man, significant other, husband, whatever he was. She did exactly what she was supposed to do. Number three, even after all of that, another brother tried to step in and tell him, yo, why don't you just take a chill pill, take a seat. You already wobbling, whatever the case might be. And something that we was taught, when I was in the Army is if you're going to point a weapon at somebody, you better be ready to kill whatever's on the other side of that weapon, whatever's on the other side of that battle. So, you know, he did what he did. He pulled it out. And all of these signs, you know, he had difficulty opening his jacket. Somebody tried to intervene. He was getting multiple times to chill out. He still didn't chill, still in his emotions. And what happened?
Let's back it up a little bit. Let's back it up a little bit because we have to pay attention. Why did he bring out that firearm? Normally, people is not even willing to fight. Right? If I got a gun on me, most of the time people got a gun on them, they not fighting. They pulling out the gun first. No matter if they feel like they can hit the guy up or not. He fought the guy and did not go for his weapon until he was stabbed. So, yeah, if you felt like she did the right thing, what nobody didn't know was that he had a weapon on him. Right? So somebody pull out a knife and stab you up and you got a gun on you, what are you going to do? He upped it back. Right? Now, we don't know what happened prior, before that camera started rolling. Right? We can make an assumption. None of us, we didn't hear what no witnesses said. We don't know nothing. Who started what? Did a bump start it? Was it no matter what it was, something happened, right? Now, that guy something was up with him because if you listen to his narrative, he was like identifying himself as a cop. He was saying something about the police and he's a cop or something crazy like that. But none of us do not know what happened before that camera started rolling. What we do know is that the bigger guy was getting on the little Spanish guy, right? His girlfriend. We don't even know if that's his girlfriend. We don't know if that was his sister. We don't know any of that. Right? She hasn't even been caught yet. So we got to watch what we're saying because, you know, she could have been a regular passenger standing up for her somebody who she felt was her ilk. Right? We don't know. But that weapon did not come out until he was stabbed. And I even heard this, too, allegedly, that it was her that shot the guy. That the guy and the two men was fighting over the gun. The gun fell, and they was allegedly she picked up the gun and shot the guy. So we don't really know. All of this stuff is alleged. We don't know. In situations like this, we have to be careful, you know, with the assumptions because we don't know.
And brother, I promise you, I was very careful. I watched it multiple times. He got stabbed because he didn't close his fucking mouth, okay? Whether it was a bump or whatever, it wasn't even that serious. Even if somebody bumped you on a train, even if he had said something, even if she said something, sometimes we just have to be quiet. Not saying that you got to be a punk or a pussy or whatever. What I do know is that you kept talking. He kept saying, I'll beat you the F up. I'll beat you the F up. SMB. And you and I are from very, very similar neighborhoods, you know that the S&B word is going to change the entire narrative. You already know how that's going to go.
No, well, but listen, somebody could tell me S&B right now. I'm mature enough to not even react because I'm going to think that they
crazy. Hold on, say that again. You're what?
I said somebody could tell me right now, S&B, right? I'm mature enough to not even react because I'm going to look at them like they crazy.
You are like mentally,
it takes more than that.
Psychologically mature enough.
You said what?
You are mature enough. Mature. So maturity
definitely
played a part here.
Yeah.
So now, let's just say he wasn't mature. He's still, and we can all see from the camera, even if it was a bump, let's just say they had an argument at Nostrum or whatever the previous spot was. Let's just say they did have an argument. He did bump him. He didn't say excuse me. But whatever type of demon energy he was on, he suffered in the end. And the thing is, it doesn't matter who was the clown, whether he was the clown or the 32-year-old was the clown. Both families now have to suffer behind that. And that's the thing. I'm calling it from what I can see. Now, if she pulled the trigger, all I can say is that this guy clearly weighed more than him, towered over him, was stronger than him. And you already had the upper hand. You had the pistol. You had the upper hand.
He had no weapon that we didn't see. He wasn't mentally stable, bro. He was saying that he was a cop and then he was doing time in jail. Like, bro, at some point, if I see somebody crazy like that, I'm going to take and remove myself from the situation. I may go to another car. I may go wait for another train. Now, if this guy pursues me, then it is what it is. But at the end of the day, that whole thing could have been avoided. Whether homeboy was mentioned, it could have been avoided. And, you know, listen, he caused his own, whatever happened, he put it on himself. That's that. He put it on himself. You know,
it is what it is. This is what's transpiring in the subways. But the sad part about it is, you know, the statement, as above, so below. It's also happening upstairs. It's happening on the surface. So this doesn't just start and stop at the subway. These things are happening in our neighborhoods. These things are happening at the corner store. These things are happening on the bus. So we definitely have to tackle this in a completely different way.
No, well, we have to pay attention to what's going on. Like, this guy was bringing up migrants. This guy was all over the place, right? Who got us hating migrants? The migrants is this. The migrants is that. They doing this. They doing that. Who's creating that animosity and that tyranny between sets of people? Right? This black guy obviously was off his rocker. See a Spanish guy, thought it was a migrant, and created this animosity. Where did this animosity start from? Our politicians, the media.
As above, so below. This is where it comes from. This is not just a mayor thing. This is not just a governor thing. This is not the National Guard or the state police. You and I both know exactly where this is coming from. If anybody wants to know it, read Propaganda. Read the book Propaganda, and you'll know exactly where all of this is coming from. These are coming from people in power, where these things are strategically and algorithmically put in place for us to be against one another. So we have to see the forest beyond the trees and say, hey,
I
know there's something up. I'm listening, bro.
I'm going to leave you with the final word. I'm going to leave you with the final word before I continue on. I'm going to leave you with the final word.
Okay. So, I mean, just in the closing, it's still unfortunate, and we have to be able to, you know, see things for what it is as opposed to to what we feel that they should be. And, I hope that the family for both sides get through, but I'm very, very sensitive to the very same narrative. And you know what? If she did do the firing, you know what? It is what it is. I still support both parties. I wish I'd have knew what precinct that he was being held at. I try my best to find out, because it was done for me by people that I didn't know, and I had planned on going to that precinct to do the same thing. It is what it is. This is a sensitive subject for me. I appreciate the time, brother. Thank you very much for all your hard work.
Yes. Interesting point. Interesting point. So before I started taking callers, I was talking about this is what prompted the calls, the crime. The crime is the F in the subways. We're talking about the MTA report card. The crime is the F. Let's get to the next thing, which is disorder. They got a D in disorder. Last year, the MTA lost $700 million on fare evasion. 46% and 13% of bus and subway riders refused to pay. The issue isn't just money. Chronic fear invaders are disproportionately people who are aggressively panhandling, using drugs, and committing violence. Now, I disagree with the fact of them saying riders refuse to pay. See, a thing that they not touching on is that the NYPD be letting people through the gates. Why isn't anybody talking about that? The NYPD let people through the gates. And I have a video I'm going to show y'all today regarding that situation. Even me working at Coney Island Stillwell, the NYPD for the summertime, it's an open house at Coney Island Stillwell. So how come the MTA is not holding NYPD accountable? It's like open border. It's open border at some of these stations when you come to the NYPD. They don't use no discretion. They just open up the gate and just everybody go through. Nobody don't want to talk about that, right? And let's even touch on the fare invasion. City and state follow through on crime and fare invasion. And F, only the state legislator and Governor Hochul can create criminal justice procedures to ensure that recidivist criminals remain behind bars, and only Mayor Adams can ensure that severely mentally ill people are securely in care. This is a fact. Police are doing their job. NYPD Transit Chief Michael Kemper notes that all categories of enforcement are at or near historic highs, with 1,533 transit arrests in January, 31% higher than in the pre-reform era of January 2019, and 16,504 summonses, 74% higher than in 2019. Police have recovered 17 guns from lawbreakers in transit this year, right? Salute to them for getting the guns out of our system. Salute to them for that, right? But Michael Kemper is a cold-blooded liar. Cold-blooded liar. Like, he's not keeping it 100. He's not keeping it 100. Because why nobody addressing NYPD sleeping in the employee rooms, right? Now, this is the funny thing. This is the thing that I find very, very, very funny, right? This is what the police officers do. And I hate to blow y'all up because I understand that y'all got a frustrating job too. But when y'all shirk y'all duties, y'all put everybody at risk, right? When you shirk your duties, you put everybody at risk. I want you guys to look at every single picture of police officers sleeping in employee crew rooms. Look at every single picture. Guess what you don't see? Because the number one cops, you know, cops cover for cops, that blue wall of silence is real, right? Why, when employees take pictures of cops and they say that they're on a lunch break, you never see them with food? You never see them with food. So you mean to tell me cops is out there for at least 8 hours a day? When are they eating? When are they eating? Are they eating when they're supposed to be working? And then when they actually on their official lunch, they decide to sleep? Why nobody's talking about the NYPD officers sleeping in the break rooms? Now, even if they are on break, even if they are using their time to close their eyes for a little while, because once again, I get it. A lot of our jobs is frustrating, it's tiring, whatever the case may be. But for a police officer to sleep on duty, whether they're on lunch or not on lunch, for optics alone, and people out there getting robbed, stabbed, shot, killed, all types of stuff, sexual assault, all types of stuff. How does that look? Of police officers sleeping in uniform, on duty in the field, breaking no break, while people are getting their behinds kicked in, getting their back kicked in. It's not a good look. And NYPD is not holding their officers accountable. The MCA is, and the MCA watched this show. They watch this show. Everybody knows they watch the show. Why isn't the MTA talking about this? And why isn't Local 100 bringing this up as an issue? We've complained about this numerous times. Numerous times. And nothing. Nothing at all. Right? And speaking about cops, if you want to call it that, what happened to the robot? Where's the robot that they had on the screen? I mean, that's supposed to be patrolling the subways. Where is this guy at? I heard that it malfunctioned or something like that. So he ain't even been on a year. He ain't even been on a job for a year, and he's on an early vacation. He's using up all his sick time already, right? But where is this gadget at? Why do we need cameras in our cabs when NYPD could put these robots places? Why is that? Why do we need cameras in our cabs when the MTA could set up a camera at the conductor position? Everybody know those cameras in those cabs will be used for discipline. Nobody is being fooled by that, right? Now I want to touch on what Chief Kemper said. Wait, what happened with that? Let me take this off. Let me fix that right there. I think that's the wrong one I brought up. Let me bring up the right one. Oh, matter of fact, let me share that the proper way. Let me share this. Let me download this. I want to show you guys what Chief Kemper said, because there's when you lie to the public, it's bad because they not telling the full truth. These people they not telling the full truth at all. I don't know if I took that call already. But these people not telling the full truth. Look, this is what Chief Kemper said. Make no mistake, we know what occurred yesterday on the A train was understandably shocking and harrowing for our riders. But also know this, your cops remain steadfast in their commitment to providing public safety to all who depend on our subway system. No, they don't. How can you do that when you're sleeping in employee restroom break rooms? How can you do that? Let me finish what he said. And to our cops who work tirelessly and do amazing work, I say thank you. Yesterday's response was not only a remarkable, but it is indicative of what you do each and every day. I am proud to tell your story. Let me tell y'all something. They was making a big thing. You know, the cops heard the gunshots and they ran. They ran to the gun. This is what they signed up for. That's why they have guns. That's why they have bulletproof vests. That's why they have stun guns. That's why they have mace. That's why they have a baton. That's why they have handcuffs. These police officers run into gunshots. Isn't this what they are trained for? I mean, I don't get it. Oh, you know, the transit worker made it to the terminal without any incidences. But ain't that our job? The firefighter put out the fire. Isn't that their job? Now, they become heroes and tirelessly or work tirelessly when it's not our job. When we had my brother Ferdinand, right, train operator, guy got shot. As a train operator, he stopped the bleeding of the guy who got shot in the leg. He went above and beyond. We not trained to do that. Now, he may have learned that in his prior life, job experience, but that's not his job. He's a hero. Right? He's a hero. The train crews with the 36th Street shooting, when the MTA don't train us for active shooters. What they did to keep customers calm and to make sure, you know, more customers didn't get hurt, they are heroes. A police officer running to gunshots, that's their job. We're not even going to play that game. If that wasn't if that's not their job, I mean, yo, NYPD is crazy. Let me see who this caller is. I think this is LaShawn. 2550-2550. That's you, LaShawn?
Hey, that's me, brother. It's me, brother T2.
Okay. You call back in.
I did call back in. And I know you're trying to run through, so I'm definitely going to keep this one short. And I would like to make a statement regarding NYPD. And I know that you have friends at NYPD, and you know I have family and friends or associates in NYPD. They really don't know what they signed up for, and I want to give the truth to everybody, and hopefully it'll set everybody free, NYPD, corrections, FBNY, whoever it is. The New York Police Department and any police department throughout the world, in the city or the United States, their job is not to run into a field of fire. They absolutely did not sign up for that. Their job is absolutely to not protect you. Their job, number one, is to enforce policies. The second part of their job is to protect infrastructure. So we have to stop asking NYPD to protect us. If NYPD was designed to protect New York City, every civilian in New York City, every time somebody is born, a cop or a police officer will be assigned to them. That is not their job. It's number one and number two of what I express. And hopefully, for NYPD that's watching this and corrections that's watching this, I hope that this sets you free. Thank you again, teacher.
You called in twice. I got to stop taking two calls. I got a long list of people. Let me tell y'all something. When y'all call in, right, I see if a phone number don't show up on a call in, I do not take the call. So if you're listening right now and your phone number says 1111111, I don't take those calls. You have to show your ID to get the calls here. But yeah, what is Chief Kemper talking about? What is he talking about? Let's be honest. Let's have an honest conversation. Let's have an honest conversation about NYPD and what they do in the subway. I'm going to talk about this until the cows come home. I have a lot of friends who are police officers, and they make it clear. If you want to be a cop and don't do any work, go work in the subways. This is a fact. Most of the lazy cops are in subways. This is what my police officer friends say. Maybe that's why we're going through what we're going through. Maybe that's why. I don't know. I have no idea. Maybe that's why. But let me, I want to dissect some things. You know what? Since we spoke about the situation on the A-train, let's get to that video. But first, let me get to this caller real quick. Let me see something real quick. Give me one second. Let me get to this caller. 2467, you're now live on Progressive Action TV. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Good evening, Tramel. This is Charlton. I'm calling on my vice president's phone. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, so we have some good news to tell you guys. Very, very important for the transit workers. Next week, I have a meeting with Chief Kemper and the NYPD brass. I need to know from all the transit workers what your concerns are, what stations are you guys having conditions at for the station agents, conductors, train operators. Let me know what stations that you're really having issues at. And for the cleaners, most important, you guys do a wonderful job and a very important job. So I need to know about conditions at your stations as well. And you could forward that to either Tramel, or you could go to our Passengers United page on Facebook and just send it to us there. And then we're going to compile a list so we could give it to him in advance so that when we meet with him on Thursday, and I think Tramel might be coming with us as well, that we can, you know, share that with him.
Well, no. You don't give me work. You leave your email. You tell them your email, and you collect that information.
Yeah, so they can just go to our Facebook page, Passengers United, and they can send it to us on Messenger and download it there. And that works so that we have the stuff. I did talk to them about the ongoing conditions because I know there's some terminals where they're not removing the homeless and they've been on trains and that's been an issue. So, you know, I spoke to them about that. This is going to be a very productive meeting, I can only hope. And I also spoke to some people in Eric Adams' administration yesterday. So we're trying to see what the situation is with the social workers and the fact that there's so few of them. And why do we have, you know, conditions like at 7th Avenue? There's a station agent there. I feel so bad for her. And I think I told you about this, Tramel, where she has a husband protecting her because she's so scared to go to the end of the station because of the, you know, drug use going on there, people hanging out. And the 7th Avenue, 28th Street station, where the guy threw the flamethrower, station we had visited, we actually patrolled that station, and on several occasions we called the cops. Police came. There was an individual running without a shirt on, running through the station. What do the police do? They come. They didn't take him to the hospital. They just told him to get out and leave. That was it. So these are the things I'm going to be talking to Chief Temple with next week. But obviously, I reached out to the MTA as well, and I suggested that Pat Warren be there. He needs to be there in this meeting so that he's getting things too. We're also trying to get the MTA police at that meeting as well. So, you know, we just need to coordinate, and that's what we're trying to do at Passengers United. So you can definitely go to our Facebook page, Instagram, and you can just send us messages there. And if you want to be anonymous, that's fine. You know, just send us an anonymous message.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, and Tramel, thank you for all the hard work you're doing, Tramel. You know, wish I could be out there this morning with you, but we'll definitely be at that rally in April, Tramel. We're so proud of you. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Brother.
Thank you.
All right,
thank
bye.
You. Listen, make sure y'all go to his Facebook page and send him all those pictures and videos that y'all send me of the police sleeping in the crew rooms and things like that. In Charleston, that video I posted wasn't this morning. That was 2 years ago. I'm going to talk about that a little later. But what I want to do is I want to play the video from the incident on the A train. I'm going to play a little bit of it just in case, you know, people didn't see it or, and, you know, we're going to discuss it as far as what the NYPD said, because they made me very upset with what they said. So check it out. I'm going to be 100% honest with you guys. This is the first time that I watched the video with sound on because I wanted to have a real reaction. I listened to bits and pieces, but I didn't listen to the whole entire video with sound on because I wanted my reaction to be natural for the show. Homeboy was definitely off his rocker. If you look at the girl, when they were squaring up and, you know, they was going around the stanchion pole, she was digging in her bag. She already had in her mind how she was going to handle the situation in case if it got ugly. And even when he took off his jacket, he threw his jacket on a chair. It didn't even seem like a gun was in there. So he would have had me fooled too if I was squaring up with him. I wouldn't have thought he had a gun. And he had every opportunity to bring out that firearm at any given moment. But it was a very unfortunate situation. And let's just think about the passengers for a second. We're talking about the A train, rush hour. It looked like they was going on an express run. And being trapped in the train car, not being able to go to another car, seat cover and things of that nature, I believe that that's something that the MTA needs to change immediately. They got open gangway trains now. You know, they got the trains where you could see all the way through the train now. So the indoors are locked for people who want to be in between the cars. It's basically to save them for the most part on the trains that's 75 feet or longer, right? For the cars that are 75 feet or longer, those doors are required to be locked. I think the MTA need to change that because that could have been more devastating, right? If that guy would have decided to shoot up the train and people can't go nowhere, right? That could have been a catastrophe. So I think the MTA need to rethink some of their policies and give people the opportunity to change cars whenever they feel like they're not safe. And I know it creates another danger of people traveling in between stations and between the cars and things of that nature. But there needs to be another type of policy or solution, because you heard that lady, let me out, let me. That's real. That's real. There's nothing fake about that. That's 100%, 1,000,000,000% real. Someone got a gun out. There's a fight. And you don't know what to do, right? Now, I want to get into what the NYPD, I just pulled one clip of that, of what the NYPD had to say. Matter of fact, I want to focus on what the NYPD person said during that. So check it out. Now, he talks about, you know, people going through gates. And let me remind y'all, the phone lines are open. Call in live, 563-999-3714. I want to start taking some calls. I don't want to be on here all night. He's talking about, you know, people coming through the gate and things like that. And it's a known fact. You could speak. Matter of fact, the police officers, and we going to keep it 100. If you're a station agent out there, call into the show right now, because I know y'all gonna co-sign this. You have people who come up to the station agent and ask the station agent for a free ride, right? The station agent can't give you a free ride. They got to tell you to pay your fare. And then as soon as there's cops there and they ask the cops let the people through the gate and make the station agent look bad. Where it's not individualized to that station agent, it makes everybody who wears that MTA patch look bad, because they don't look at us through titles. They look at us through that logo. They don't care if you're a bus operator, train operator, conductor, station agent, cleaner. They don't care. They look at that logo, and they be mad at the logo, right? There's always something conflicting. NYPD, the union is not talking about this. Right? The station agent is just trying to do their job, and the police officers got the right to do whatever the hell they want to do, because the station agent can't tell the NYPD cops, yo, don't do that. They ain't got to listen to the station agent. Right? So these police officers put our workers in harm's way. This is a fact. This is a fact. If you're a station agent, call in, 563-999-3714. If you're a cleaner, anybody who works around the turnstile and you have experienced this, call in. Because, look, I'm going to play this next clip for you guys just to show you what I'm talking about. Check it out. They let at least 20 people through that gate. At least 20 people through that gate they let through. Right? The MTA, we can't allow the MTA or any of these other groups, that other, nobody else to control the narrative, because we're going to continue to tell the truth. Not everybody that's not paying into the system is hopping the turnstile. NYPD wants you to believe that. The MTA wants you to believe that. Local 100 Union Administration wants you to believe that. Nobody is accounting for the people who's being let through the system by NYPD themselves. The MTA cannot complain about fare evasion when NYPD is letting people through the gates by the dozens. What's the sense of NYPD being there if they go not doing their job? What is the job of a transit cop? If we want to go back to what LaShawn, when he called in and he was talking about police is not basically to protect persons but property, the transit system is property. The transit system is property. They're not protecting the system. NYPD don't care about fares. Why? Because their raises is not a component of their raises. Like ours, our raises come from the operational budget. What's in the operational budget? Fares. The NYPD going to get their money regardless. And nobody got a bigger overtime budget than NYPD. They're going to get their money regardless. That's just how it is, right? So to talk about these narratives of, yeah, the people who's committing all these crimes is hopping the turnstiles, not paying a fare. Yeah, let's look at the methods that they not paying a fare. Hopping the turnstile is one of them. Courtesies are another. NYPD shirking their duties is another one. Let's keep it 100. Let's keep it 100. This is a fact. This is a fact, right? But nobody want to talk about that. Nobody want to talk about NYPD sleeping in employee break rooms. Nobody want to talk about NYPD holding open the gates and let people come through the gates. There's nothing wrong with giving a courtesy, right? And it should be explained to the case. Why should I let you through the gate? Oh, you know, I left my Metro card home and I don't got this on me. I'll give you a courtesy this time, but make sure you have it the next time. We're not talking about that. We talking about them straight up, they going through the gate and just leaving the gate open for everyone else without even making sure that they close the gate behind themselves. Who's holding NYPD accountable? Can someone explain to me who's holding NYPD accountable? If you feeling what I'm saying, hit the like button. If you watching on Twitter, where, I don't care where you watching at, hit the like button. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, hit the like button. No one is holding NYPD accountable. No one. No one. And that's a major problem in the city, is that no one holds them accountable. They allowed to do whatever the hell they want to do. No one is holding them accountable. No one. And then when we talk about it, we become anti-police. We become the bad guys. There's police groups that saying now, oh, if someone asks for, if a transit worker asks for a courtesy, don't give them nothing because they telling on us that we ain't doing our job. Man, get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. I want to see y'all right over a PDA car. Right over a PDA car. I want to see that. I want to see that trip. Especially a high, no, right over a high-ranking PDA car on pads. Do that. Do that. See how that works for y'all, right? So back in 2022, there was, I think at the time, there was like 9 shootings on the subway, right? And what people do not understand is that the trains, the platforms, the buses, right? Every part of the tracks, every part of the public that the public have access to, those are actually transit workers' offices, right? The trains are our offices. The platforms are our offices. The buses are our offices. The tracks are our offices. The tunnels are our offices, right? What other office are you having shootings, stabbings, sexual assaults, all types of things going on besides a war zone, right? Nobody else offices have those issues but transit workers. The people who's telling us it's safe, their offices are secure, right? To get into 2 Broadway, you're going to see at least 5 security guards and police officers. Front and back, you're going to see that, right? When you go to MTA board meetings, and I said this at an MTA board meeting too. When you go to the MTA board meeting, they have K-9s there. They have undercover security officers there. They have plain clothes. They have uniforms. All of these officers there, right, at MTA board meetings, the same people who's riding the system coming to the board meetings and the MTA board and Jan Oliva and Richard Davi, they all feel so threatened that these people got to go through metal detectors. They got to go past K-9s. All of these uniformed police, a heavy police presence is at every MTA board meeting, from security, from the elevator, to when you get off the elevator, NYPD, plain clothes, undercover, all types of police officers. What the hell are they so afraid of at these MTA board meetings to where they have to search the riding public that we ride with every day, that we work with? Why do they need all this protection when we don't have that same protection in our offices? That MTA board meeting is their office. These people go through heavy screening. I mean, IDs checked, metal detectors, pat downs, open up your bag, all of that for the riding public that want to go speak at the MTA board meeting. But we don't have that same protection. We don't have that same protection. Y'all mean to tell me that y'all okay with that? We go allow them to control the narrative on that? There shouldn't be no, matter of fact, you know what they should do? There should be no NYPD in that building. We should give them a transit radio and tell them to call RCC and let RCC dispatch police when they need police, the same thing that we got to go through. Let them go through the same protocols that we have to go through when it's dangerous. You know why they don't want to do that? Because we're just a number to them. They feel like they are the ruling class. We are just a number. We could be replaced. We could be replaced. Now, give them a radio. Tell them to put it on B1 or B2 and call RCC. Matter of fact, you know what RCC go tell them if they run into a problem? Why don't you hit the horn, signal for police and route, and let's see how fast they come. That's another sleight of hand that the MTA do. They know that we be needing police assistance. They tell us to give signal for police en route, right? You'll be signaling for police en route until the cows come home. Oh, don't know. We need to leave our trains in that station. As soon as they tell us to signal for police en route, that train needs to stay in that station, and you need to signal until you get police. That's the big, the MTA only cares about service. They don't care about nothing else. That's what signaling for police in the route is for. One time I signaled for police the next stop, the first stop from the terminal, my first stop, I signaled for police from one end of the line to the other end of the line, and still did not get no police. Still didn't get no police. And RCC, I told them, RCC, I'm not getting no police going from station to station. Oh, just signal for police coming into the station so they can see it, so they can have enough time to respond to the train. If you don't see them, try again at another station. I know you're going to get one. This is RCC, OCC, whatever the hell they want to be called nowadays. Right? It's all a game. So like I said, back in 2022, there was 9 shootings on the train, right? There's shootings and stabbings happening in our workplace. I decided to go buy myself a bulletproof vest. And when I went to buy myself a bulletproof vest, I wanted to do a one-man rally, a one-man rally. I wanted to go in front of 2 Broadway and just take my bullhorn and just go off. That's what I wanted to do. I just wanted to go off, right? I call my brother Alexander Kemp, say, yo, Kemp, I need you. Hold the camera. I'm just going to go off and explain to them that if we not safe, the workers, then they not safe. Matter of fact, let me play a little bit of the video for you guys now. Check it out. I think I made my position very clear on that. And like I said, that video was from 2022, right? 2022, I did that. Everything I said in that video is very relevant to what's happening today. Nothing has changed. Nothing changed. Jan Oliva narrative is still the same. Eric Adams narrative is still the same. The governor narrative is still the same. The police is not changing up how they're doing business. Everybody's lying and gaslighting the workers and riders of New York City Transit, right? And what the state ended up doing because of the mass shooting in Buffalo, they decided to punish everybody, every citizen in New York by making bulletproof vests illegal, right? You can't purchase a vest unless you, if you have a vest already, you're good, right? You can't purchase a vest. I have a couple of them, so I'm not worried about that. But they only last a few years. I don't think that there's a law about buying plates for the vests and things like that, so I could always upgrade mine. I think that the longevity of a vest is maybe like 4 or 5 years. So you always want to keep it fresh. You don't want to, you know, you only got one chance. You only got one chance, and you want to keep it kind of fresh. But they need to either change the laws. There needs to be an amendment of the laws to allow transit workers to protect themselves if they want to, so they can feel safe and do the job. Because the violence that's happening in the New York City Transit is out of control. I don't care. They trying to use this sleight of hand. Out of the millions of riders that ride the train, you know, this one incident or these couple of incidents doesn't make it unsafe. Bull, sugar, honey, iced tea. Bull Sugar Honey Iced Tea. I don't care if a trillion people rise the subway. One death is too many. The odd thing here is that this is not happening one time. We are in our fourth death. And I don't know if the guy died from the A-train or if he alive. I've heard conflicting reports on that. But according to I think it was Channel 7, that he died. We got four deaths in New York City Transit in 3 months. We had a mass shooting. Remember, the shooting in the Bronx where one guy died and like six people shot. That's a mass shooting. So we cannot act like that things are safe here. We can't act like that. Those days of gaslighting workers and lying to workers and things of that nature, that's BS. And I don't know if I could make that meeting with Charleston next week, but I would love to sit down with Chief Kemper and we keep it 100 with each other. Because at the end of the day, we should all be working together. We should all be trying to figure out solutions. But more importantly, we have to figure out a way how to keep riders and workers safe that use this system. I'm quite sure there's NYPD officers that get their ass kicked too. I'm quite sure of that. We have to find a way to keep everyone safe. We're not going to keep people safe by lying. We're not going to keep people safe by getting on these Zoom meetings and these other meetings in person and circle jerking each other. Oh, this was amazing. You're right. And you're doing a great job. It's not going to work like that. What we need in New York City, we need honesty and we need accountability. And we also need people that's willing to do the job with dignity, respect, courtesy, without shirking any duties. It's not a lot to ask for. It's pretty simple. We need that. We deserve that. The only thing we are asking is for people to do their jobs. You think that I want to come on social? First of all, I don't even want to do this work, right? These are God's plans, not mine, right? I prefer to stay out the mix, and I prefer to go to work not having to fight my union, having to fight NYPD, having to fight the MTA. I don't mind doing it, but I'd rather not be. I'd rather live a life of no stress, fun, vacations, focusing on my family. But I feel like if I'm not doing it, then who's going to do it, especially effectively, consistently, no breaks, no time off, no days off. Got to keep your foot on their necks. But we have to find a way to keep each other safe, to be safe. It's not going to happen if we're ignoring police officers sleeping in our break rooms. It's not going to happen if their narrative is saying that the people who's committing the crimes are not paying, and at the same time, we have station agents doing their job, not letting people through the gate, but then you got NYPD letting people through the gate. That's not going to keep people safe. Playing PSYOPs, having the National Guard at hubs that they know that major crimes are not happening at. Grand Central, Penn Station. That's not going to work. And I'm not saying, you know, put the National Guard in the hood either. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because I believe that NYPD is more than capable of doing the job. They definitely getting the resources, the overtime, the tools to do the job. It's just that it seems as if, according to other NYPD officers, if you want to be a cop and not do the job, then go into subways. That needs to change. There's poor deployment with NYPD. There's no reason for an incident to happen and you have 12 cops there and they sitting around on a phone telling jokes and things of that nature. We don't need that. It's funny when they say cops can't be everywhere, but then when something happens, they all right there. That makes absolutely no sense. So if we want to change how this city is being seen, because right now it's being seen as being a migrant situation, subway transportation crime is high, congestion pricing, all this other stuff is going on. If we want to change the dynamics of New York City, we must start being honest with each other. We must start being honest with each other. And if they don't want to start being honest, we got to continue to promote shows like this, Progressive Action TV, where we can have honest conversation. We can work through the dialogue. We can do all this stuff. Right? And I'm very happy in the direction that the show is going now. So specifically, if you're watching on YouTube and you're not subscribed to the channel, please subscribe to the channel. It costs you nothing to subscribe to the channel. Right? It costs you nothing to subscribe to our Facebook page. It costs you nothing to follow our Instagram page. It costs you nothing to follow our Twitter. And if you really like what we do, you can send us super chats on Facebook. I mean, super chats on YouTube. You can send us Cash Apps. You see the Cash App above, $Progressive Action 100. You could join the YouTube channel for literally, like they say, 99 cents a month. There's ways to support the people who support you. And I want us to continue to grow. If you can't donate monetarily, share out the video. Put a coworker on. Put a family or friend on to what we're doing over here at Progressive Action. We're advocating for the people of New York City, and we're advocating for the workers of New York City Transit, the MTA in general. We have followers in Metro North, Long Island Railroad, New York City Transit, other transportation agencies across the country. We have followers, right? We appreciate all the support. Make sure you share out these lives. But at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, if they want to make substantial change in New York City, and I'm not only talking about with transit issues, I'm talking about with everything, they must start being honest. They must be honest with the constituents, with the riders, and with the workers of this city. If they cannot be honest, people look at these politicians. The first thing they point out with these politicians is that they lied. They said that they're going to do this, and then when they get in, they do that. We got to hold these people accountable. We have to hold them accountable in between elections, too. We can't just say, oh, next election, I'm going to just vote them out. That's 3 years that they got to continue destroying or going back on their word. That's too much. That's the same thing with the union. We can hold the union accountable, the union administration accountable during when it's time to vote. We got to hold them accountable in between elections where they do most of their damage. This is a fact, right? But once again, if we want to create change in this city, the powers that be must, let me say that again. If they want to be honest and move this city in the right direction, they must start being real with us and having those honest conversations, whether it's going to hurt people or whether it's not. But gaslighting us, telling us it's safe, running PSYOP operations with the National Guard, the MTA police, and checking random bags for the people who's bringing in weapons, they having it on a person and you're not checking them, right? There must be a level of honesty in this city if they want to move this city forward. I hope this show was informative for you today. Remember, like the video, subscribe, and share. I'm Shamel Thompson. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.